Okay, we are learning Mesechus Brachos from Lamed Aleph with Aleph Beis. We're starting the Mishnah. I'm a Spalel. Vita, a person davens and makes a mistake. Simen Ra Loi. So it's not a good thing. It's a Simen Ra. At the very least, it shows that person is not concentrating as well as perhaps they could be.
That's Spalel they're talking about, but Shimon Esrei, right?
Yeah, Shimon Esrei.
He was not sure of a fit.
Yeah, but the thing is, but let's say we're talking about here, we just had Masha Baruch from Aruch Hashem, which is, that's a common thing, you know, especially when you just started. You remember that I say that? No, so
you say it 100 times to make sure.
Exactly, I'm saying that, so why does it, you know, it's
it happens. I mean,
I'm saying it happens. It happens is that, you know, really you have to have such a component to remember that, you know, that they'll leave it out.
Well, that's why it's a Simen Ra. It doesn't mean it's an earth-shattering life and death situation, right. But it's not a good thing. You're not davening as one should. And we're going to see an example later on in this Amud of how effective tefillah can be. Vim shleach tzibur hu. So, okay, fine, that's if you're by yourself. But if you're the one that was appointed as a shleach tzibur to represent the entire kehila, then simen ra l'shluchav. Then it's a simen ra for those who sent you. We know that the principle of shlucha shel adam kamoisai, that since you're their shliach, they are, and you're their agent, you're their, and they're the principal, so it's as though they're the ones doing it. So the fact that you made a mistake, it's as though they get that burden. The fact that they chose someone who unfortunately made a mistake,
well, wait a second.
Was their mistake too?
Yeah, congregation does. I mean, if you want to go, I mean, they choose a gabbai, and the gabbai picks the thing. So because they chose the gabbai, and he's their shliach, so then he's the, and the gabbai.
No, gabbais never make mistakes. First of all, gabbais don't make mistakes.
Well, then they have been a gabbai in what's ever.
Well, people may think they make mistakes, but they don't make mistakes.
But, I agree with you. We don't make mistakes.
Yeah, but, right. Amr Lav. So Amr Lav al Rav Chanina ben Dosa. So Rav Chanina ben Dosa, who used to always be famous for miracles, Shayim Espal al Chaylin. So he used to be able to daven when people were sick, so they used to ask him to daven. The Omer, and I would imagine he didn't say this to the people directly, but he said, Zechai was emes. He knew that this person that he davened for was going to live, and unfortunately, some people he knew their fate was not going to be so pleasant in the future. Omolo, they said, Minayinato Yodea. So I guess sometimes he was able to figure it out, and people knew that he understood this. So how do you know? How do you know who's going to live, who's not going to live? So Omolo had, Im shigur tefilas mefi. If the tefillah is fluent, it comes flowing out of my mouth naturally, then Yodoni Shu Makubal. I know that it's going to be something which is accepted. Bim lav, but if it's a tefillah which is hard for me to say, because Hashem wants, whenever Rav Chanina Mendoza would ask for something, it would happen. So the fact that it would be done in such a way that he wasn't able to say it properly, it was some of a hint that Hashem didn't want him to say it, because Hashem didn't want that person to live. It was no longer this person's time to continue in this world. Do an issue matoyer, if I knew that my tefillah was going to be torn up, it was going to be not accepted. So if we look in Rashi says, Im shigurav, that the tefillah is something which is fluent. Im sedur tefillasi befi hamarutza ve'ani nechshol. So I'm able to say the tefillah in the proper order, and I don't stumble in my tefillah v'tachanosi noivas melibi, that all the supplications are flowing clearly out from my heart, LP straight to my mouth. So his tefillah is from his heart to his mouth, immediate, no hesitation. All of my lengthy supplications, I know that it was going to be answered. If not, then unfortunately it will be matoyrof, it will be ripped up. It will not be accepted. As Rashi says, this will not be makobo. Okay, so now let's see the Gemara. Gemara asks the question, on what are we referring to? What is the question? So Rashi says, Behecha uve'eza min habrochais havita'os besimin ra. It sounds like anywhere in the Shemon Esrei, it's a long tefillah. So yeah, I made a mistake. I said the same bracha, I corrected myself. Somewhere it would say, I mean, it's hard to necessarily have kavanah straight through. Does this mean that if I made a mistake at any point it's considered to be a simon ra, such a harsh statement. So Rav Chiya, Oimer Rav Safra Mishnam Chag Debe Rabbi Avois. Iki Demasni La Abraisa, and the spouse star Shechav Nisliba Bekulon. You have to have one in all the Shemon Esrei. Vim Eino Yochel Chav Mekulon. If it's too difficult for you to do so, Yechav Nisliba Bachas. At least have Kavan in one of the Brachos of the Shemon Esrei. Which one is that? So Rav Chiya Oimer Rav Safra Mishnam Chag Debe Rabbi Avois. So the first paragraph is, as we've always mentioned, as is Beferish, is the key. It's necessary to have kavana. If a person does not have kavana, basic parish milos, and we have English translations, it's very questionable about your fulfilling the mitzvah of, or being yotze, having said the Shemona Esrei.
What do you mean by that? If you said it in English?
No, you at least know what you're saying. At least think about what you're saying, as opposed to just flying through it without any kavana whatsoever. That's problematic. It's not just saying the words properly. When it comes to the first paragraph, you need to know what you're saying, right? So, and Rashi points out one element of the significance of this first paragraph of Avos, Shehu Tchilas HaTfilah, it's the beginning, Remezhu Shein Chafetz Ba. So it's a hint that, obviously, it's not accepted, or it's not desired upon Hashem. If you made a mistake in the beginning, so Hashem doesn't want to hear the rest either. So I guess you can look at it, the second, that's going in the first part, that's why it's a simon ra. The second part of having kavana is, if you don't have kavana for the beginning,
yank it out. Yeah, but that's not exactly true. Because there's an Indian, even if you look at the Chafetz Chaim, it says a person, okay, it's like, you know, starts out, does it, but if they don't see, realize that I have a kavana, and you continue on kavana, it's better than not having, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It can happen, something can interrupt your thoughts. You know,
right, so it's possible you may not. Right, who says because you don't have kavana in paragraph
the
one?
You can't. You know.
Right.
Improve your game, so to speak.
Right.
As it goes along.
Right. So this Rashi would only really be befitting for the simon ra part, that your tefillah is clear and that can be accepted. If you made a mistake at the beginning, so it shows it's not shagur b'fiv, which means that it's not something which Hashem wants you necessarily to say at this time. It's not going to be accepted. The second part of the of why it's avos. Okay, so it may not be necessary for that reason. It could possibly be, you know, if you at least have kavanah at the beginning, then hopefully you'll continue to have kavanah for the rest. Obviously, there's something very special about the first paragraph,
sure,
too.
I'm sure it's shagur b'fiv, but it's
not. It was shagur b'fiv, you're saying.
Yeah.
Right, and that's the reason why he was told to stop. If he continued davening, his tefillahs would have been accepted. That's why Hashem told him not to daven anymore. So anyway, that the paragraph of Avos Lahalacha, one must have kavana for, and this is what it says here too. One has to have kavana for the first paragraph of Avos in order to have fulfilled their obligation. Omer lo al Rav Chanina. So now we find this story of Rav Chanina that somehow, when he was able to have the proper saying of the words, then he knew that his tefillahs would be accepted. How do we know these things? Omer Rav Yishuv ben Levi, the Omer Kol, the pasuk says Bori Nivs Hosayim. That a person is boire, which also is bri, who is healthy. The fruits of his lips, if they're healthy, that they're moving in a healthy fashion, that he's able to speak clearly, shalom, shalom, l'rachoy, l'kadoiv. Then it'll be peaceful for those that are far away and those that are close. So you can say, as far as health, those who are healthy, they're karoiv to health, so they'll remain healthy. L'rachoy, those who are far from health, they'll also be able to eventually, they'll also have acquire shalom. So the word shalom, shalom is repeated, is one for the rachlek and one for the karek. So it teaches us that, then it says, Oimer Hashem, mefuasid, that Hashem will heal those individuals. So we see this connection, those that are far, those who are close, will be healed, provided that it's bari nivsav osayim, that it's healthy or it's clear, the fruits of one's lips, the words that come forth from one's mouth. So therefore, that's how Rav Chanina Mados was able to understand from this pasuk that in fact is true. Om Rav Chiba Rab, Om Rav Yochanan, Kol Hanavim Kulan. I guess on some level you can understand it, I think. And of course, when we stand before Hashem, who are we to feel that we're entitled to anything? But when we feel that we have a certain entitlement, that we deserve something, so we feel very comfortable to be able to ask for it. When we feel uncomfortable, as though we are not deserving of it, and perhaps we don't feel we really are not entitled to it, then we are a little bit more nervous. And therefore, maybe that's part of him not being able to speak as clearly. That all the Nevi'im, it says that their prophecies, that their goal, one of the accomplishments that a person could have in their life to be able to truly achieve nachas and to be able to see something wonderful among their family is to be able to masia bitul atam chacham. If you can marry off your daughter to someone who embraces the ethics and values of Torah and studies Torah on a continual basis, u'oisa pragmatil atam chacham, to be able to see in business practices atam chacham. It's not just enough atam chacham, but atam chacham in business is a whole higher level. U'mehen atam chacham nechasav, if you could allow a Talmud Chacham to be able to benefit from your possessions, to be able to help a Talmud Chacham in any way possible, supporting of kolel and whatnot, all these things are of tremendous chus on that individual. Of a Talmud Chacham atzma, even though it's a tremendous chus on our part to help those people who spend their entire life sacrificing in order to embrace Torah, the future of Torah growth, the Talmud Chacham himself, Ein Ru'asa Elohim Zulasecha. On this we say that Yasel Lamachacha, we say the eye that will not see Elohim Zulasecha except besides Hashem, Yasel Lamachacha will be able to accomplish those who wait for him. So we see the Ein Ru'asa, it's going to be something which is so amazing, the sechar for the Talmud Chacham himself, that's not even going to be something which you'll be able to envision. It's beyond comprehension, the Talmud Chacham's reward. But the fact that we're able to attach ourselves in any way to a Talmud Chacham, so in that also we will merit a tremendous chus. That their prophecy was in the future, focusing on the future. And this pasuk disputes Shmuel. There's a whole discussion: what exactly is Yemos Mashiach? What is Olam Haba? This is learned in Chelek, Machlokas, the Rambam, the Ramban. The Yomer Shmuel Ein Bin Olam Hazel Yemos Mashiach El Shiva Malchus Bovad. According to Shmuel, and many just learn straight from this reading that the difference between Olam Hazel and Yemos Mashiach, the only difference will be Shiva Malchus. As far as the governments and the positions of power that exist now in the times of Mashiach, the center of power and control of politics and leadership, that will be the only thing that will change. We're not going to see any other drastic differences between now and Yemos Mashiach. Shnemar, kilo yechtal evyon mikerav aretz, will not seize the impoverished from amongst your land, which means that even after the time of Mashiach, there will still be poverty, there'll still be Soros, those things will not change. The only things that will change is Shibud Malkus. This is probably one of the more famous Gemaras in Shas. It says that all the Nevi'im, the greatest things that one could achieve or try to strive for, are for the great people that make a life change, which is so difficult to change their routine and become a Baal Tshuva. So those people are on a very, very high level. Aval tzadikim gamurim, when it comes to a tzadik gamur is greater than a baal tshuva. Ein l'rosa lokim zolsecha. Their reward is going to be so great that I will not even be able to see it except for Hashem. There's nothing which can even comprehend the tzadik gamur. So between a baal tshuva and a tzadik gamur, who is greater? A tzadik gamur. Because the baal tshuva certainly is very, very great. But the Gemara says here that the tzadik gamur is going to be someone who was born religious, born a tzaddik, and remain a tzaddik their entire lives. That's an Ein Ru'asa Elohim Zulasecha. That's not a higher
measure.
But if you're a tzaddik gamur, they have schusim which remain schusim.
Yeah, but even a tzaddik gamur has a chet.
So he can also talk to be a baal tshuva. We're all baal tshuva. If you're not a baal tshuva, then you're a Russian. So this is one of the more famous sentences that's quoted by the masses. Not everyone agrees to this. And it's a dispute. And obviously there's a discussion what this machlokes is based on. Yomer Avavai, Mokum Shabali Tshuva Oyimdin, Sadiqan Gemurim Enon Oyimdin. The place where Baal Tshuva stands, a Tzadik Gomer cannot stand. Shenemar Shalom Shalom Orochoik Olokoroid. It will be peace for the Rochoik. And obviously, we talk about trying to make someone religious. It's called Kiruv. Rochoik Olokoroid. Rochoik Beresha Behadu Olokoroid. So over here in the Pasuk, which person is first? The one who is Rochoik. The one who is far. And that person is mentioned first. Doesn't mean that we praise the Rochlik, the Russia. It means someone who was Rochlik and became a tzaddik. Someone who's a Baal Tshuva. And then only afterwards it talks about the Karoy. So what's the logic behind this? So the Pashup Shat, the way that the traditional approach is that someone who's a tzaddik, so you were born
it's
into it, you knew.
From birth. So, but a guy who's a Baal Tshuva, it's harder. He doesn't know. It's not his fault that he was there. That's his upbringing. It could be from generations before. So
right.
It's a much harder thing, to come from nothing to something rather than from something to something.
It's, right. So you're comfortable with the way that you've been taught and this. So now this Baal Tshuva is thrown into the mix.
Exactly.
Like I had a someone who became a Baal Tshuva, and he didn't know for 20, 30 years how to read Hebrew. He hasn't gone to shul. So you can imagine, he goes into a shul, it's intimidating. All these people, they're opening up a siddur, and they know all these prayers, and he's just like completely, it's embarrassing,
right.
It's uncomfortable. And so he has to dedicate, he's spent hours just learning how to read Hebrew, and then trying to get transliterated things, and this. It's a tremendous, tremendous, daunting task, and something which is extremely unbelievable for someone to become a Baal Tshuva. So therefore, b'makom shabali tshuva oimdin, tzadikin gemur in oimdin. But it's actually, most people don't know this, but the Gemara says it's a machlokes. There are those that say that a tzadik gemur is greater, right? And this is the opinion, as we said, of Rabbi Yochanan. So what will Rabbi Yochanan do with this pasuk, which says the rochlik comes before the karev, shalom, shalom, Rabbi Yochanan Armelach will tell you, my Rochlik, what does it mean that he was far? It means, Shai Rochlik Medivar Veira. It means he's far from sin. Mi Kara, from the onset. My Kara, what does it mean he's close? Shi Kara Vodivar Veira. He is close to sin. Was Rochlik Me Man, and then he distances himself from it. He just flips around the logic. So when the Pasuk says Rochlik, it doesn't mean the person is far from, far away. It means someone was far from Averus. He never sinned. It was Rochlik from him. So such a person is mentioned first. That Tzadik Gomer is greater than the one who's Karoiv, who became close. Which actually, that almost sounds like the better reading. Because we know that a person who becomes a Baal Tshuva, we are Makariv them. So that's the word, Shalom Shalom Rochlik Ulokaroiv. Where the Ulokaroiv means to those who came close. Right? So that's, but the way he reads it is Ulokaroiv Lavera. The one who was close to an Avera, and then they distance themselves from it. So, before we continue, the question is, everyone is familiar with the Baal Tshuva. The Baal Tshuva is greater than the Tzadik Gomer. So what's the logic that a Tzadik Gomer is greater than the Baal Tshuva? Why? How could Rabbi Yochanan disagree with such logic? And the way that some people interpret it, the way that Maharsh Shiva has explained it regarding to Tefillah and other things, is that it's true that the Baal Tshuva is making a lifetime change, but they're also doing something which shows their sense of self, their a sense of independence. As opposed to, as he explains this when it comes to Yitzchak Avinu, we find Avraham, so much detail about his life. Yaakov, then you have Yitzchak, who's like a shadow.
Right.
Nothing. Right. The greatness about Yitzchak is that he did exactly what his father did. Which is not easy. That when you have someone, you have a parent, and you do exactly what they do, you don't have your own sense of self. So you just do exactly what someone else does, as you've been taught your entire life. So that, on some level, is greater. That's how he explains the idea of a tzadik gomer.
On most levels, it's easier. I mean, if your father, if you do with your father. Your father had a private thing, your father had a business, and you go into the father's, you take it over, and business just keeps going on. You didn't do anything special.
Right.
Just, you know, you didn't make any waves, you didn't do anything. It's very easy to, you know, not getting involved, I'm just doing what I did before. And that's an easy way out. Right? It's much harder if you're going to make changes, if you're going to start your own thing. So,
correct. Know, but at the same, that's true. It may be an easier thing to do, but at the same time, all those people have been working at that business for 20 years and saying, look at that 23-year-old kid who just got his bachelor's degree and all of a sudden he's the vice president of this place. That's not right. So you know that you're not necessarily entitled to it, and you want to be able to stand on your own 2 feet. I want to be independent. I want to be able to show that I can make it on my own without the help of others.
But that's something. If you do that, like you say, Yitzchak didn't. He just did whatever Avraham did.
Saying that's
like,
no, I'm saying, but that in itself could be viewed as a greatness, is that you take away from your own sense of self to do exactly what your father does. Not because you're lazy, but because I'm not representing.
Most people wouldn't look at it that way.
I'm saying, but that's how he interprets the concept of a tzaddik gomor. Right. Tzaddik gomor, this happens all the time, unfortunately, and sometimes people don't remain at tzaddik gomor. The fact that my parents are extremely religious and they taught me in a very sheltered life, so I'm wondering, what is it like out there? A Baal Teshuva has been there, he's done that, he's so like, all right, who cares, you know? So the tzaddik gomor is like, wow, I wonder what it's like, and yet he remain steadfast to his mitzvah observance.
It's
like this.
Is the glass half full or half empty? Which way have we come?
Well, yeah, I mean, again, this is why it's interesting to machlokas. Most people don't like to look at the tzaddik gomor. We always like the underdog.
Right,
we want
exactly
to believe the Baal Teshuva is greater than tzaddik gomor.
See, then you also give it up to a certain extent.
Of following what you're... Right. But again, and we actually hear this all the time. Someone who becomes religious, the parents... like freak out, or even I'm religious. My son is more religious, right? So I feel a little bit, you know, wronged by that, or
so
uncomfortable.
Now he won't eat in his house,
right? Or whatever it may be, yeah. So, but the reason why the child could be doing that, of course, let's say it's l'shma, but it could also be because it's a sign of showing that they're different. I'm in my own person, and that shows on some level the greatness of a tzaddik gomor, that he's willing to continue to do what his father does. What his parents teach them. I was once told in a Hasidic Avort, so what does it mean? If you say it's tzaddik gomor, it's greater than a Baal Teshuva, so why does it say that b'mokam, this is the famous line, mokam shebali tshuva oimdin, tzaddikim gomorin ein oimdin. The place where a Baal Teshuva stands, that tzaddik gomor is not able to stand. How do they interpret that line? That line sounds like, as everyone, the Velt says, that means the Baal Teshuva is greater. So he says that if a person understood how terrible a chet was, even there you're Baal Teshuva, but since you attached yourself at one point to a chet, if you can compare it to a putrid smell, it's such a terrible, a person doesn't want to be around where there's a terrible, terrible odor that's emanating forth from someone. So he says that a tzaddik gomor, a mokam shebali tshuva oimdin, the place where that Baal Teshuva stands, a tzaddik gomor in oimdin, they can't stand in such a place. They can't even associate themselves to someone, not that there's something wrong with that person. The person did tshuva. You have to embrace that person and not look upon their past. But the tzaddik gomor is greater than the Baal Teshuva, because the place where the Baal Teshuva is standing, the tzaddik gomor couldn't stand there. He can't stand to even fathom the concept of ever having sinned. That's how some people twist those words around. Anyway. That's the machlokas, which again most people aren't familiar with that machlokas. So let's continue. So let's get to the two dots. Hashda, my ein lor asa. What does it mean that the eye does not see? So Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, ze yayin hamishumer ba'anav mishishes mebrachus. This is referring to a special type of wine that has been guarded and watched. You know, old wine is pretty good. So if you can get a bottle, which is 20 years old or 30 years old, you know, you're in good shape. Imagine getting your hands on Yayin HaMeshumer Ma'anova Meshesis Yimei Brachus. To be able to have such wine, that is something which is unique. Obviously, what exactly does that mean? That there's a special wine from the sixth Meshesis Yimei Brachus. So there are those that say that the chet of the Eitz Hadas were anavim, were grapes. And we know that before Adam and Chava partook of this tree, this fruit, they did not have a, there was a lack of vision or foresight of knowledge. And then thereafterwards, there was this greater level of knowledge. So they missed this wine, which is being protected, which has connection to the chet. That's something in which is ayin lo ra'asa. It's something which our eyes were really are not supposed to have seen. That's something which we're not able or capable of seeing. Different interpretations of what this means. Obviously, it's beyond our scope of understanding. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Omer, Zeh Eden. This is referring to Eden, like the Garden of Eden. Shloshaltavo Oyin, Kolberia. No person has ever, in the history of man, ever seen, no creation has ever been in Eden. So Shema Toimer, she may say, I know the book of Genesis pretty well.
He couldn't see when he was there.
He says, Adam Rishon, Heichen Hoya, where was he? Began. He was in the Gan. So most people translate as Gan Eden, right? The Garden of Eden. That's what most people think, right? It's not true. The Gemara clearly says that's not the case. It's a fallacy. Began. That Adam was in the Gan. Meshem Atamer, who Gan, who Eden. It's the same thing. So we see that the Gan and Eden are two separate places. Talmud Omer, V'na Yotzim Eden. It says that there was a river that came forth from Eden. Lahashgois es Hagan. And it watered the Gan. So the fact is, there was a river that connected Eden and Gan, which clearly tells us Gan Luchud, the Eden Luchud. There are two separate places. So Adam Arishain was really in Gan. And when it says Ein L'Ra'asa, that's Eden. Stop here.